All right. Well, we were doing this series over the last 6 weeks on the fruit of the Spirit. And tonight is the seventh week on the series called The Fruit of the Spirit. And the comparison I've been giving over the weeks is this. Let's say you are in the boondocks, in the middle of a farm, and you have no access to oranges. But you want some oranges, and you have orange seeds. What do you do? You take those orange seeds and you plant them in the ground, right? And then you nurture those seeds until it produces an orange tree with the fruit called oranges. And it's the same way in our spiritual walk with God, right? When you accepted Jesus Christ, now how many here have accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord? When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord, the seed of the Spirit of Christ was planted in the soil of your heart. And as you nurture that seed, as you nurture that relationship with Jesus by praying to Him, by reading the Word, by fellowshipping with other Christians, as you nurture that seed, that relationship with Christ, guess what? The result should be what? It should be the fruit of the Spirit manifesting in your life. And last week we talked about the fruit of the Spirit called gentleness. Gentleness. Now the King James Version defines that word gentleness as meekness in Galatians 5:23. It's the eighth fruit of the Spirit that Paul the Apostle lists. Meekness. Now meekness is based upon what? It's based upon humility. Meekness is having an even temper. You know, when somebody gets you upset or somebody frustrates you, it's responding with a gentle answer. That's what meekness is. Remember Jesus, right before the crucifixion, when the Roman soldiers mocked him, when the Jews insulted him, when the criminals crucified on either side of him heaped insults upon him, how did Jesus respond? Did he call down 12 legions of angels to wipe him out? No, he was meek. He responded with an even temper. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." We're to be imitators, followers of Jesus Christ. And when somebody does or says something to frustrate us, we are to respond meekly, with an even temper. We're to be in meekness to those who are authority figures over us, like here at the Salvation Army. For instance, you know, they tell you guys to be in your room at a certain time every night. There's a curfew, right? You agree with that? And, you know, you may get frustrated sometimes. But if the fruit of the Spirit called meekness is in your life, how do you respond? Yeah, I'm a little frustrated, but you know what? Sure, staff, I'll be in my room at such and such a time. Meekness, humility in response to others. Amen? All right, Jesus said, "Blessed are the meek," in Matthew 5:5, "for they will inherit the earth." We can understand the earth in two ways. If you're meek in relationship to God, if you're meek in relationship to others, you will inherit and possess some of the good things that this world has got to offer. Maybe like a better car to drive, or a better place to live in. And not only that, you will eventually inherit the best earth, the best world of all, which is heaven. To be with God and Jesus forevermore one day, right? So blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Tonight, I want to talk to you on the fruit of the Spirit called goodness. Let's turn to Galatians 5, verse 22. Galatians 5, verse 22. It's the sixth fruit that Paul the Apostle lists. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." You know, the word goodness has the word what in it? It's got the word, it comes from the word good. And I did a word study on goodness, and this is my definition of goodness after my word study. I did this word study, and this is the way I define goodness. Okay? Goodness is this. I define it as an inner moral virtue, an inner sense of knowing the right or good thing to do for somebody else. It's an inner sense of knowing the right or good thing to do for another person. Goodness is doing what prefers. It's doing what benefits. It is doing what helps. And it is doing what builds another person up. Goodness also means to be generous with the blessings that God has given unto us. Goodness, doing what benefits the other. Now, when I think of goodness on a human level, I think of Mother Teresa. How many here know of Mother Teresa? She was a missionary to the nation of India, Calcutta. She was a loving Christian, a Catholic, who helped the poor and the needy of India. She was a mother to the motherless. You know, she used to cleanse the wounds of the bleeding. You know, she fed the starving. And she used to hug those who were starving for physical touch. To her, self was not important. She was all about doing what helped the suffering. So when I think of goodness on a human level, I think of Mother Teresa. She was a godly woman, a wonderful woman of God, a missionary to the poor, the homeless, and the suffering, mainly in the nation of India. She had inner moral virtue. She knew the right or the good thing to do for the hurting. You see, the good Christ on the inside of her was manifest on the outside in the good deeds that she did. You know, friends, we know that what's on the inside of a person's heart makes its way to the outside, right? What's on the inside of a person's heart eventually works its way to the outside. And this is what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12. Let's turn there. Matthew chapter 12. Verses 33 through 35. And this is what Jesus says. Matthew 12. Is it Matthew 12? 12, 12, 12. Yes. 12, 33 through 35. Verse 33. Make a tree good and its fruit will be good. Or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruits. Are you what kind of tree are you? A good tree or a bad tree? Verse 34. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man brings out good things out of the good stored up in him, and the evil man brings out evil things from the evil stored up in him. You know, for instance, a person full of bitterness and hate will do what? He will try to curse his offender. He will try to get revenge on his offender. You know, if somebody lies about him or slandered him and he's full of bitterness and hate, what's on the inside will make its way to the outside. He'll try to curse that person. He'll try to retaliate, right? It's like a lemon. You take a lemon, right? You squeeze that lemon, and what's in that lemon eventually comes out. And what's in that lemon? Bitterness, right? And when the pressure is put on it, bitterness comes out. So when the pressure is placed on us, what comes out of us? Good or bad? You know, but a person, on the other hand, a person full of Jesus will go about doing good. Why? Why is that? Because Jesus is good. Let's look at Acts 10:38. Acts 10:38. And this is what the Word of God says. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how He went about doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with Him. If you're full of the good Jesus, if Jesus, the good one, is on the inside of you, and you're full of Him, then you'll go about doing what? you'll go about doing good, right? If Jesus is planted on the throne of your heart, this Jesus who went about doing good and healing all who are oppressed of the devil, if he's planted there, then you'll go about doing good to others, right? So tonight I want to ask you this. Are you full of Jesus or not? You know, tonight, if Jesus is not in your life at the altar call, you will have the opportunity to say, Jesus, come into my life. Be my Savior and my Lord. Amen? All right, now, who is good? Who is good? God the Father, the Creator of heaven and earth. He is the author of good things. He is not the author of bad. He is not the author of evil. He is the author of good. Look at Psalm 86, verse 5. Psalm 86, verse 5. Who is good? You are forgiving and good, O Lord, abounding in love to all who call to you. You are forgiving and good, O Lord. Look at Psalm 100, verse 5. Psalm 100, verse 5, talking about the goodness of God. For the Lord is good and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. How many agree here tonight that God is good all the time? And all the time, God is good. Matthew 7:11, talking about the goodness of God. Matthew 7:11. If you then, though you are evil, having the sin nature, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? James 1:17. Every good and perfect gift comes from where? Comes from above, from the Father of heavenly lights. So we agree that God is good and that He does good, right? What does Paul the Apostle write in Ephesians 5:1? He says, be ye therefore imitators of God. If God is good and He does good and we're to imitate Him, that means what? That we're to go about practicing this fruit of the Spirit called goodness, and we're to do what? Good. Jesus Christ, God the Son, is good. Look at Hebrews 1, verse 3. Hebrews 1, verse 3. And this is what it says. That Jesus, basically, here. Hebrews 1, verse 3. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful word. Jesus Christ is the exact representation of God's being. So that means Jesus is what? If He's the exact representation of God, and God is good, that means that Jesus is good, right? And good all the time. When He walked this earth 2,000 years ago on the streets of Israel, what did Jesus go about doing? He went about doing good, right? He went about casting devils out of the demon-possessed. Right? He healed the sick. He brought peace to storms. Let's look at Matthew chapter 8, showing us how Jesus did so much good. Matthew chapter 8. Verses 14 through 17. Matthew 8, 14 through 17. When Jesus came into Peter's house, He saw Peter's mother-in-law lying in bed with a fever. He touched her hand and the fever left her, and she got up and began to wait on Him. When evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to Him, to Jesus, and He drove out the spirits with a word and healed some of the sick? No, the Word of God says Jesus healed all the sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took up our infirmities and carried our diseases. When Jesus walked this earth, all He did was what? was good. So God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are good. Now, let me ask you this tonight. What are some of the ways in which we can practice this fruit of the Spirit called goodness? How can we practice this fruit of the Spirit called goodness? Number one, by our good deeds. Let's turn to Galatians 6. By doing good to those less fortunate. Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 10. A lot of people take this passage as meaning finances. But this passage really is talking about doing good deeds. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Verse 9, in context. Let us not become weary in doing what? Doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Verse 10, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. In context, Paul is talking about sowing seeds of good deeds into the life of others. And as you sow those good seeds of good deeds, you will reap a harvest eventually. Don't give up. Don't grow weary. For in due season, you will reap a harvest from the good that you've done for others. You know, back in September, I went out with a church group to this elderly lady's house here in downtown Tulsa. She's about 85 years old. She was a widow. She's a widow. She lives in this very, very old house. She says it was built back in the 1800s, and there were additions done to it. Well, she needed her front porch floor painted. So we, as a church group of young adults, went out to her house. We scraped the floor, we primed it, and then we painted it. And we did not charge her a penny. We expected nothing in return. So that day I donated like 5 or 6 hours of my time to help this widow. Now I have a business where I work on houses. And would you believe it or not, within the next week, I reaped a harvest off that seed that I planted that Saturday afternoon. I received a business contract which brought me approximately 25 times what we could have charged for that job. That's good, isn't it? God brought it back to me fast. If He did it for me, He can do it for you. The good deeds that you sow into the lives of others, God will bring you a harvest back to it. Do you believe it tonight? With all of your heart. So we've got to practice goodness, doing good to the less fortunate. You might be thinking tonight, well, Jonathan, I'm in a tough place myself. I live here at the Salvation Army. I don't have a house. But friends, there is somebody out there tonight that is in greater need than you. There's somebody out there tonight sleeping on the street that can't get in here. There is somebody out there tonight sleeping under a bridge. And somehow you can do something good for them with the time that God has given unto you. Do you know someone who is hungry and penniless? Say you've got $10 in your pocket. Buy that person lunch. That's a good deed. Have you found somebody on the side of the road that maybe has a flat tire? A helpless person? Maybe an older person? Take 30 minutes out of your schedule and do a good deed. Help that person. Practice this virtue of goodness. You know, do you know somebody out there maybe that is dying of loneliness? Take a couple of hours out of your schedule and just spend time with that person. You know, is there somebody out there that you know is starving for a loving touch? God has blessed you with two arms, right? Go to that person and just hug them. Say, you know what? God loves you and I love you. That's doing what? That's doing what? That's doing good, right? That's practicing the fruit of the Spirit called goodness. The good that you do, friends, will be returned back to you. The world says it this way. What goes around comes around. It happens every single time. And remember, what Paul wrote in Galatians 6 is talking about sowing good deeds into people's lives. And as you do it, God will bring it back to you. Multiplied 30, 60, and 100-fold in Jesus' name, right? The second way you can practice this fruit of the Spirit called goodness is how? By speaking good words. Let's look at Ephesians 4, verse 29. Ephesians 4, verse 29. This is a very clear scripture on that. It's from the NIV. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Now, this word helpful in the King James Version is translated good. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is good for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. You know, this past Friday night, we do outreach on the streets of downtown Tulsa with the church. And this past Friday night, I was ministering to someone, a very humble guy. He was just standing there. And he was dealing with the weakness of alcoholism. And he was just talking to me, giving me a little bit of his life history. And he was like, man, I have this weakness with alcohol. And, you know, I saw him take a sip. And I was like, you know, sir, I thought it was tea. I said, was that tea that you drank? He was like, no, that was alcohol. And he says, I'm dealing with this weakness of alcoholism. And he was really concerned about it. He had thought that he had lost his salvation. And I said, sir, no, you have not lost your salvation. I said, those who lose their salvation will be those who rebel against God and say, God, I want nothing to do with you. You're openly rebellious toward God. God, get out of my life. I want nothing to do with you. I want to drink alcohol. I want to do with my life what I want to do with it. That's a person who can lose his salvation, one who is openly rebelling against God. But I said, sir, this is a weakness that God understands. He knows that you're attempting to overcome this weakness. You have not lost your salvation. And you know what he said to me? He says, wow. He was just like, the light bulb went on. He said, wow, you cleared up so much in my mind. I'm paraphrasing. He said, you know what? You did a whole lot of good tonight. And he really felt good. So I spoke words of encouragement into his life. And he told me, you know what, Jonathan? You did a lot of good tonight. I encouraged him and I said, sir, you didn't lose your salvation because you drink alcohol. God understands it's a weakness. God understands that you're trying to overcome it. And he loves you so very much. And we pray that God would give him the strength to overcome it. But it was just speaking a few words of saying, you know what? You haven't lost it. You still are saved. And he just went out of there. He just went away from there satisfied and built up. Why? Because I spoke good words into his life. And friends, you can do the same. You can speak good words into somebody's life who needs it. Do you know if somebody who's dealing with really low self-esteem, tell them, you know what? You are the apple of God's eyes. It will make their day. That's a good word. You are the apple of God's eyes. It's a few simple words, but they're good words. It can turn a person's life around. You know, do you know of somebody who thinks that they'll never achieve anything? Maybe they think about themselves that they're good for nothing. They'll never go anywhere in life. Tell them this. You know what, friends? God believes in you, and so do I. Those words, those good words, can turn a person's life around. Wow. God believes in me. You believe in me. Maybe I really can do something good with my life. You get the point here tonight? Speaking good words is practicing the fruit of the Spirit called goodness. Now, how can we grow more of the fruit of goodness in our lives? If you have an orange tree or a plum tree or an apple tree, and you really, let's say you really like apples, right? And you've got an apple tree. You want that apple tree to produce you more apples, right? Because you like the apples that apple tree produces, right? So how can you in your life produce more of this fruit of the Spirit called goodness? Think of yourself as a tree. Jesus lives on the inside. How could you produce more of this goodness in your life in relation to others? Number one, remember the golden rule. Matthew 7, verse 12. Let's see what Jesus says in Matthew 7, verse 12. How to produce more goodness in relation to others. Matthew 7, 12. So in everything you would do, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Always put yourself in the other person's shoes. Say this with me tonight. I will do unto others as I would have them do unto me. And what I do unto them is good in Jesus' name. Let's say somebody offends you. And you're just really frustrated on the inside and you basically just want to curse this person. Ask yourself this question. Let's say down the line in the future, I offend somebody. I was in a similar situation. Would I want that person to curse me? No, I would want that person to bless me with good words. So do likewise. Speak good words over your offender. Do unto that person as you would have another person do unto you if you were found in a similar situation. Does that make sense? Let's say you lent somebody a sum of money, let's say $500. And this person promised you, I'll pay you back this $500 within a month. And they fall into financial straits. They can't get you the money. The question tonight is this, would you forgive them or not? What you got to do is you've got to put yourself in that person's shoes, right? Let's say some point in the future, you borrow money from somebody and you fall into financial straits and you're not able to pay them back. What would you want that person to do for you? You'd want that person to forgive you the debt, right? So what should you do? Forgive this person the debt that they owe you, right? Do unto another person what you would have another person do unto you if you were found to be in a similar situation of being in debt to someone. Let's say somebody on the side of the road, for instance. I'm making it real practical tonight. Let's say somebody on the side of the road needs a jump start. And you've got a car. And you've got battery cables. Would you help them if you had that car and the cables? Or would you be like, man, I'm in a rush. I can't help them. Put yourself in their shoes. It could be that in the future sometime you may need a jump start on your car. What would you want somebody to do for you if you needed a jump start? You'd want them to give you a jump start, right? So do likewise. Do good for another that you would want them to do for you if you were found to be in a similar situation of needing a jump start. It's simple, right? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And if you can keep the golden rule in your mind, in your heart, you can practice this fruit of the Spirit called goodness on a daily basis. Just keep it in the back of your mind. Keep it deep down in your heart. What would I want somebody to do for me if I was in that situation? I'd want them to do good for me. So what I'm going to do is good for them. The golden rule. Remember the golden rule. If you can remember the golden rule, there will be more goodness manifest in your life towards others. Right? All right. Also remember this from Matthew chapter 25. Also keep this scripture in mind. Matthew 25. Let's read it. Verses 34 through 40. Then the king will say to those on his right, Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, verse 35, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in? Or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply. Here's the clincher. Verse 40. I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. Guess what, friends? The good that you do and speak over somebody else, you're doing and speaking to Jesus Himself. Why is that? Because every single person on the face of this earth is created in the image of God. Part of God is on the inside of everybody on this earth, from Tulsa to China. And when you do good to someone else, when you speak good words to someone else, you are doing it for Jesus Himself. Let me ask you this tonight. If Jesus were to stand right in front of you tonight in physical form, and He were to ask you for some lunch or for a glass of water, what would you say? You'd be like, yes, sir, right? Yes, master. If Jesus were to say jump, you would say, Lord, how high? Right? That person in need in front of you is Jesus in disguise. If you keep that in your mind and in your heart, the fruit of the Spirit called goodness will be manifest in your life in a much greater way. Remember the golden rule, number one. And remember that when you do good for someone, you're doing it for Jesus Himself. That person is Jesus in disguise. You know, to me, brother, you're Jesus. To me, you are Jesus. To me, you're Jesus. To me, you are Jesus. To me, you are Jesus. All of you to me are Jesus. And to you, I'm Jesus. When you do it for somebody else, you're doing it for Jesus Himself. If Jesus were standing in physical form in your presence, you wouldn't let that cuss word slip out of your mouth, right? Towards somebody else. It'd be only a really good word. I love you, Jesus. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. What is it, Master? What is it, Commander? Tell me and I'll do it, right? Jesus in disguise. Because we're all created in the image of God. Part of God is on the inside of every single one of us. When we do it for somebody else, when we do good for somebody else, we're doing it for Jesus. And the opposite is true too. That when you harm somebody else, when you don't help somebody who is in greater need than you, guess what? In a sense, you're harming Jesus. Because that person is Jesus in disguise. Keep that in the back of your mind and in your heart. And you will produce so much more of the fruit of the Spirit called goodness in your life. One more scripture here. One more scripture. I believe it's in John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Verse 28 and 29. John 5, 28 and 29. Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear His voice and come out. Those who have done good will rise to live forever. And those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. This is Jesus speaking. Those who have done good, those who have practiced the fruit of the Spirit called goodness will rise to live eternally with God in heaven. Keep that on the inside of your heart. That you know what? As you do good to others, as you speak good words into somebody else's life, One day you will rise to live forever with Jesus and with God. How many want to spend eternity in heaven with God one day? Let's start practicing goodness with our lives. Amen?